My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and I'd like to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, featuring inspiring messages by Pastor Wentley Phipps. Today, our message is entitled Face to Face with God. We have a full program, so we're going to get right to the message as soon, though, as we hear special music from Pastor Phipps. Stay with us as we present another edition of the More Abundant Life.
Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. My God said he'd take me higher. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. He saved me from the wind and fire. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Jordan River is chilly and cold. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Chills my body, but not my soul. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord.
I want you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Verse 10 says there in the word of God, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Praise the Lord. When God made Adam and Eve to that holy pair, He granted the privilege of face to face, heart to heart, unbroken communion with Himself. I imagine, as the servant of the Lord tells us, that when Jesus would enter the Garden of Eden to meet face to face with Adam and with Eve, that I can always see it, that the lions would stand at attention when Jesus walked in. And the tall grass that shimmered with silver and gold would bow down before him. And what a communion it must have been, God and man walking together in concord and fellowship. But when Adam sinned, this glorious privilege was taken away. No longer could Adam walk with Christ by the side of the babbling brook. He could not gaze upon the features of divinity. And as David says, behold the beauty of holiness. But of all the privileges that Adam lost, the loss of the privilege of seeing the face of God was the most heartbreaking loss. A veil of darkness descended between God's face and man's eyesight. To Adam, the face of Christ became a fading, distant memory. Many scholars believe that the Garden of Eden remained on the earth long after man had been evicted from it. The servant of the Lord also suggests to us that it was at Eden's gate that Adam often brought his sons to worship God. And there at Eden's gate, barred by angelic angels, lest sinful man should eat from the tree of life. It was there that they renewed their vows of obedience to God's law that had been broken. Brothers and sisters, Adam and Eve are the only two created beings who have ever seen God face to face while living here on earth. Some have been translated, who now can see him. But while on earth, Adam and Eve were the only two human beings ever granted the privilege of gazing upon the full features of divinity. But from the very day that the veil descended between man's eyesight and God's face, men and women have wondered what God really looks like and what he's really like. Men and women have wondered what it would be like to gaze upon the features of divinity. And I submit to you this morning that one of the reasons we who believe this message are not changed people. And for those of you who may not know, I'm going through a series of messages that I hope are designed to make us better people. We who know the Lord should talk like the Lord, act like the Lord, yes, look like the Lord. One of the reasons I believe that we are not nicer people is because we really don't have a clear vision of what God is like. And how can we become like someone when we have not a clear vision of his character and his personality? How can we become like someone we've never seen? It is very difficult for human beings to fashion themselves into or live in harmony with the character and personality of a God none of us have ever met or seen face to face. But I'm here to share with you this morning that down through the ages, great prophets have understood this, and from time to time, some dared to ask God to reveal himself more fully. That's why only the boldest of prophets dared ask God for the privilege of seeing his face. At different times and in different ways, God has always revealed himself to man. We know that. He revealed himself to Jacob, who saw God at the top of a great stairway leading into heaven. He revealed himself to Isaiah, who was given a vision of God on his heavenly throne. But today, let me turn your attention to one such request made by one of God's faithful servants, a request to see his face. You remember, after God gave to Israel the law of 10 commandments, that Moses came down off of that mountain and he was sickened by what he saw. The people upon whom God had given and showered his blessings, the people whom Moses had chosen to suffer afflictions rather than reign on the throne of the Pharaohs, this people, Moses found them frolicking and dancing around a golden calf and worshiping it. In utter discouragement and wrath, Moses threw down the tablets of stone that held the Ten Commandments. He never imagined that the level of man's ingratitude could sink that low. He watched the children of Israel. He was disgusted. He was distressed. They were praising the virtues of a golden calf. God spoke to Moses, telling him of his displeasure and disappointment. God said, Moses, depart, get up from here. You and those people you have brought out of the land of Egypt. I always make note that, you know, when God gets really upset, he says, those people. Not my people. Moses, those are your people. Moses entered, we know, into the tent of the tabernacle. and prayed. The Lord listened to the pastoral prayer of Moses, promised to have mercy. But it was at that moment of negotiation, Moses was saying, Lord, don't do this to your people. Take my life, blot me out of the book. And Moses is negotiating with God. And it was at that moment when God said, okay, Moses. Moses prayed this prayer, and you find it in Exodus 33. If you have your Bibles, turn quickly to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 18. Moses prayed, Lord, before you go, I beseech you, show me your glory. One translation translates it this way, Lord, please, may I see you? Just let me see you. I know we've been talking, I know we've been negotiating, but before you go, just let me see you. I'm sure Moses was probably surprised at himself. I'm sure he had thought about it. I'm sure he'd wondered what it would be like to see the face of God. But I'm sure he never dreamed that he would actually come to the place where he would ask the Lord for such an experience. He had probably never dreamed that it would come out of his mouth. Lord, may I see the glory of your face. Let me see you. The Lord said, Exodus 33:20, Moses, I will not let you see my face. Why? Because no man can look at me and live. But come back up to the mountain, Moses, and I'll let you see the glory of my presence. I'll give you a deeper insight into the kind of God that I am. And in verse 21, now Moses, when you come up, I'll have you stand on a rock near me, and as the glory of my presence begins to pass by, I'll make an opening in the rock, put you in that cleft, cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I'll take my hand away and you'll see my back and not my face. Brothers and sisters, Moses longed for a more personal revelation of God than he had ever had before. And God heard the prayer of Moses. And I am fully aware that no words I could ever speak could do justice to that scene. I'm sure that it was an experience that was really out of this world. Now, why did Moses ask for this revelation of God? Why did Moses ask to see God's glory? Moses had seen manifestation of God's presence before. God had appeared to Moses in a burning bush, you remember. He had revealed himself in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He had spoken to Moses in the midst of thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud when he proclaimed the Ten Commandments. But now, why was Moses, after seeing all that glory, are you with me this morning? Why was Moses asking God to see his face? Maybe at some time in your Christian journey, you've wondered what God looks like. I wish I might see Jesus in his glory. Perhaps your heart has said, like Peter saw it, and James and John saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now we know the book of Revelation promises one of the greatest pieces of scripture, and we shall see his face. We're going to see his face. But here Moses was asking God. Verse 20, God said to Moses, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and what? Live. But now, look at verse 9 of that chapter. Go back up to verse 9. It says there, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And verse 11, and the Lord did what? Spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Church. Now, this may seem like a contradiction. Are you with me? Moses knew that the burning bush was not a dream. It was not a vision. It was a reality. Something that he saw with his own eyes. Moses knew that he'd heard the voice of God calling to him out of the bush. And he covered his face, realizing that he stood in the immediate presence of God. God was conversing with him, and heaven came near to him as God spoke to him. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. What wondrous condescension, says the servant of the Lord, for God to leave the heavenly courts and manifest himself to Moses, talking with him face to face, as man speaketh unto his friend. At the burning bush before the pillar of cloud, Moses knew that he was talking directly to God. How is it then that God says to Moses? Well, first of all, if Moses all these times had been talking face to face with God, how is it that he comes now and he says, yes, God, but before you go, I want to see your face? How is it that the Bible says that he spoke in verse 9 face to face, and here God is saying to Moses, you can't see my face. For no man can see my face and live. Church, at the burning bush before the pillar of cloud, Moses knew that he was talking directly to God. And the key word here is like a man talks with a friend face to face. But still Moses knew that even though he had been talking to God directly, he knew that he hadn't really seen God's face. He had seen his glory in the bush, in the pillar of fire, but he knew he hadn't seen God's face. He knew that in the pillar of cloud, God was veiling his face. In the burning bush, God had veiled and shielded himself. So Moses, in the midst of talking to God about forgiving the people, suddenly blurts it out. I beseech thee, Lord, listen, before you go, how about let me see your face? Moses knew that when he encountered the Lord at the burning bush, before the pillar of cloud, that encounter made his countenance glow. Your face always glows when you fellowship with God. When Moses was in that mountain, he was alone with God. He knew that his fellowship and conversation with God was intense. They were close. They spoke as friends who were familiar with one another. But he knew he hadn't seen the face of God. You know, when you fellowship with God, there's a light that shines on your face. Hallelujah. It's a glow that you can never produce by brief encounters. It calls for sustained fellowship. Did you hear me today? Each morning when the sun rose, it found Moses still basking in the glow of God's presence that he had been experiencing through the night. Hallelujah. Each evening when the dew fell, Moses' soul was still saturated with the remnants of glory. When Moses was in communion with God, I imagine that he couldn't even hear the noise from the camp below. And you know, isn't that something? When you're really connected with God, when you're really in intense, passionate, intimate worship with God, it seems like the world stops. It doesn't matter what's on television. Are you with me? Everything grinds to a halt, and the only reality that really exists is what's going on between you and God. There in that fellowship with God, Moses was oblivious to everything except the presence of God. The presence of God and worshiping God always overshadows every other reality. praise his name. You forget about family. You forget about illness. You forget about pain and trials. It's you and God. Oh, for the joy of such communion. Moses thought not of himself. He was pleading for the people. And by the way, that's because, you know, God doesn't like fellowship with selfishness. He doesn't like you just going on and on and on and on about what you need. When does your heart think about someone else that you pray for there? Moses thought not of himself. With sighs and cries, he asked Jehovah not to destroy the people. Moses said, Lord, they made a golden calf. I know they bow down before it. God said, let me alone. I'm going to destroy them. Moses cried out, Lord, blot me, I pray thee. Remember that these are your people. All right, Moses, I will return with you to my people. It was then and there that Moses blurted out this unusual request. Lord, before you go, just let me see you one time. Moses must have said to himself, I'm on a roll here. Everything I've asked God for, he's given it. I asked him, don't destroy the people. He said, you got it. I asked him, let me see his way. He said, all right. Many believe that the greatest petition that any man has ever asked for in all of Scripture was this one. It took great faith for Abraham to offer up in prayers for Sodom. It took great faith for Jacob to wrestle with the angel all night. It took great faith for Elijah to pray rain down from the sky. But the greatest faith was in that moment that Moses said, Lord, just let me see your face. That took a lot of faith. Amen? And look at verse 10 of Deuteronomy 34. And there arose not a prophet, have mercy, since in Israel, like Moses, whom the Lord, what? Knew face to face. Church, Moses stands alone. He's a giant among giants. His request surpasses that of any other man. The request is the highest to which the ambition of sinful man could ever reach. One writer wrote that he was astonished that Moses, even Moses, as wonderful and as great and as powerful a prophet he was, that even Moses would be bold enough to ask for so wondrous a favor. Moses spent 40 days in the council chamber. He had hidden in the secret places. God said, he said, now, I pray thee, Lord, if I found grace in your sight, let me see your face. How can I be like you, Lord, if I can't see you? Brothers and sisters, I can see Moses now. Trumpet sounds. Are you with me today? The ground starts to tremble. The lightning begins to strike. Moses' knees knocking together. Joints loose. He's standing in the cleft of the rock. Hand of God over his eyes. And see Moses like no man before him. Have mercy, Jesus. Confident in faith, scared to death. Wondered why he even prayed that prayer. Lord, let me see your face. The apostle tells us, the Bible tells us, God hid him in the cleft of a rock. And allowed Moses to see the trail of his glory as it passed by. And remember, there was a rock in the wilderness. Moses smote it. Water came out. We know that rock was whom? Christ. It was not Christ literally, but it represented Christ. And now Moses stands in a rock, in the cleft of a rock. My soul tells me this morning, you know that text, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless unto him who is the cleft of the rock," protects us. Let me read you a poem I found. Beautiful, beautiful poem. "Alone with God, he speaks to me as friend with friend. He fills my heart with joy and peace that has no end. He tells of his love for me, and I rejoice. Alone with God, to feel him near, to hear his voice. Alone with God, the door shall shut his face, shut us in his face. I feel his love so strong and true. I know his grace. His comfort comes in strengthening power to fill my heart. Alone with God, how blessed it is to come apart. Alone with God, how sweet the sound of his dear voice to seek his face in quiet place. This is my choice. 'Tis good to know that he is there, my need to meet. Alone with God, his presence near. Oh yes, how sweet." There is an hour coming when all of us are going to be ushered before the Father. Are you hidden in the cleft of the rock?
Well, that's about all the time that we have today in our program. I hope that you enjoyed the message, Face to Face with God. And if you would like to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. That phone number again is 301-577-6342. You'll want to ask for program number 116. That's program number 116. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney. Again, I wish you God's richest blessings. Please join us again for another program. Remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." Join us again. Until then, God bless you.
In your heart.